But how did you get into the banking business? Was that was that your calling out of?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, my undergraduate degree is in arts and letters. It's speech, it's English, it's history. I look back now at my transcript, and I only lack 3 hours of being a double major. Probably could get that and get it completed. When I went to graduate school, though, I thought, well, maybe I need, you know, the business perspective. And in those days, Oklahoma State University, they had an MBA program that was in the business school, but they had a management school that was totally separate from the business school. Wayne A. Meinhardt was the department chair. It was very East Coast in their management school structure. I did an interdisciplinary degree, because remember, arts and sciences, so I'm teaching interpersonal studies in the arts and sciences school, but I'm attending management classes in the management school. Organizational theory was an absolute favorite. After that, when I graduated, I thought, well, I will need to find a job, and I did with Teledyne Economic Development Company in Los Angeles. It was a huge conglomerate of about 48 companies. They made everything from jet engines to water picks, and I worked in the federal contracting division, and they operated Job Corps centers across the United States. And since I had kind of a specialty in employee training and development, I was a training director for the Guthrie Job Corps Center, and I moved there thinking, well, I won't stay here that long. I'll just, you know, move along after a couple of years and, not really from Guthrie. All these people think that they have all this history up here because of the land run, which I had not studied in the sixth grade in Adair County. And I met Ralph McCalmont, who owned the First National Bank, the oldest bank in Oklahoma, founded on a day of the land run in a tent. And the building was actually on the exact location where J.W. McNeil, a very successful buffalo hide trader from Kansas, had discovered that he was in Medicine Lodge, Kansas in 1888. And he thought, this has not turned out to be the place you want to be. So when he read about the land run, April 22nd, 1889, he sold everything in Medicine Lodge, Kansas. And he and his business partner, Alonzo Little, they bought a ticket on one of the 10 special trains that came in the land run. And allegedly, they jumped off of that train and ran up the hill and staked out the corner of First and Oklahoma Streets and established the first bank in Oklahoma. See what he did there? He was a marketeer.
In Guthrie.
And it's if you go to that address today, which is 202 West Oklahoma Avenue, there is a bank location of the bank that I work with, Bank First, today. And we've been operating banking uninterrupted on that piece of ground since 2:30 of April 22nd, 1889.
So then you went to work for that bank?
I did, because Ralph McCalmont, I had foolishly, with my history background, I got elected to be the president of the Logan County Historical Society, which I thought was a group of blue-haired ladies tranching all of the residents into who were boomers and who were sooners. And I had been a national park seasonal ranger for 5 years, so I knew a lot about preservation. And I think that's what they were fascinated with. And Guthrie was in its renaissance of historic preservation at that point. And Mr. McCalmont was right at the middle of that. Matter of fact, I think he may have been the guy that suggested to people that I become the president of Logan County Historical Society. As I was operating a 990-some-odd million-dollar urban development action grant, as we pioneered facade easement programs and other tax incentivization, because we had passed established the largest historic national register district in, I think, in the United States, 10 square blocks. I was doing lots of things while I had this job with Teledyne. My volunteer job is helping the local historical society to do history and preservation. And one day Ralph said, have you thought about being in the banking business? I said, no, not really. Even though, remember, on the Cherokee side of my family, my great-great-grandfather was Secretary Treasurer of the Cherokee Nation and helped to establish the First National Bank in Tahlequah in the 1890s. But remember, that's, you know, nobody in my immediate family were bankers. they were people that drove fancy cars and lived in fancy houses and played golf. He told me of a business partner that he had, a man by the name of Gene Rainbolt, who was from Norman, Oklahoma, and that Gene had parlayed ownership in a number of community banks. And he said, we're going to change the banking structure of Oklahoma. In the early 1980s, you could have one banking charter with no branches. You could have one detached facility within 1,500 feet of the main banking house. And that was a product of Oklahoma reaching statehood at the height of an anti-business movement in the United States. So branch banking didn't exist. We had over 600 independently chartered banks in Oklahoma when I kind of entered the business in 1981. And Ralph McCalmont was correct. He and Gene Rainbolt and some other bankers brought Oklahoma banking into a modern era, established holding companies. We began to consolidate charters. And so the First National Bank of Guthrie was one of 12 that surrendered the oldest national banking charter in the state to join a newly formed company called Bank First on April the 1st of 1989. John, you can always trust bankers that formed their company on April Fool's Day. And today it's a $14 billion financial institution in the state of Oklahoma, serving 60 communities with 125 different locations. And I've worked for them for 43 years this morning. But I hadn't planned, once again, Forrest Gump. I hadn't planned on being a banker. It was suggested to me.
Banking has changed a lot over the years since then to now. And there's so much to talk to your life about. But technology certainly must have affected banking since you started in a major way.
I just spoke with a student group this morning and told them that there will be very few things on my headstone. One will be the fact that I was the inventor of the Bank First debit card. We didn't have debit cards when I first worked at the bank.
And you invented that?
Well, yes. I became a president of the bank in Guthrie. I later went to be the president of our bank in Tahlequah, which, oddly enough, John, had been owned by my Cherokee family about three generations before. That bank was about to fail. I went there and sent several people to the penitentiary. And after getting it cleaned up, my current boss, David Rainbolt, who is the executive chairman of the board, he said, why don't you come out to this, we call it the support center, our corporate headquarters, and we're going to put all of these banks together. So I came to the support center and discovered that there were many competitive products and services in bigger banks that we did not have. And I thought, well, if we're going to really grow up, we need to keep up with the Joneses. So we were about to reissue ATM cards. You know, you being a Tulsa guy will remember that there were early ATM cards of banks in Tulsa, and all you could do was go to an ATM. And I told our operations manager, I said, no, we're not going to reissue all these ATM cards. We're going to make them be check cards. That was the terminology. And later, of course, known as debit cards. Today, currently we have about 400,000 of them that are issued across the state of Oklahoma. And the cool part is if I pulled mine out and showed it to you, it has the identical artwork on it that you will find on the Oklahoma Quarter. Because in 2008, this finger, John, right here, I went to the Denver Mint and made the first Oklahoma Quarter. So the scissor tail flycatcher. And since we were the issuing bank and I had made the first quarter along with Governor Henry and some other Illuminati from the state, I said, could I use that artwork? And they said, why, sure. And it's on our debit card today. Mm. The only bank in the planet, maybe even the solar system, to have that design on it.
You also headed up Wilma Mankiller's quarter, likeness on the quarter.
I did, because Wilma Mankiller is a very dear friend of mine. And we grew up in the same tribal community, although Wilma was about 10 years older, and her family had been removed to California in a 1950s era of diminishing Cherokee. The centralization of our tribal communities. Wilma did come back, though, and she ultimately became chief, and that was when I had a chance to meet her, and we served together on a private industry council, and then later was really sort of my introduction into doing tribal work. So when the U.S. Mint decided to introduce their Women of Influence series, a wide variety of women who have made phenomenal contributions to the United States. Wilma Mankiller was selected, and our bank was chosen to be the issuing bank since I knew Wilma Mankiller. And I officiated the first day issuing ceremony in Tahlequah.
Yeah, great. And I should say that, of course, we have Wilma Mankiller's interview. We launched our website with her, as a matter of fact, and her husband, Charlie Soap.
Charlie Soap, good friend of mine.